Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Tonight, majority leader campaigns for an urgent suit against a controversial anti-gay bill passed by Parliament last week as he continues his onslaught against the bill.
After the authentication, the Speaker would have to certify. It's when all these are done that the bill is forwarded to the President for his assent. As we speak, as a leader of the House, I can say on good authority that we've not completed the process.
We are live in Parliament today, where it has been a controversial day as we learned today that the Finance Ministry has advised the President, warning of dire economic consequences if he signs a controversial bill into law. The minority, they've been up in arms.
This, without any hint of doubt, is an insult to the good people of this country. The streets must be flooded. Everybody must be prepared on this matter.
We, as a people, have come together to pass this law to reflect our family values and to protect them.
In the last few minutes, the majority leader, Alexander Fenyomarkin, has intensified his campaign against the anti-gay bill on the day we became aware of the Finance Ministry's advice to the President, warning of dire economic consequences if he signs a controversial bill into law. The position of the ministry has left the minority side furious. More on that shortly. But first, listen to Mr. Fenyomarkin speaking a short while ago.
The issues that members of Parliament, led by my good self, raised, ought to be tested by the Supreme Court of the law of the land. I mean, we are a growing democracy. This is not an emotional journey. This is about laws that have to do with the rights of citizens. So the test here is whether or not a sexual right, which is in itself being brought to question, should lead to a criminal penalty. In other words, if as a nation we say that our value systems do not support a man-to-man relationship, woman-to-man woman relationship, are we also saying that the means of reforming people with that orientation is to incarcerate them? How does this position stand in accord with the Constitution? Also, the issues of advocacy, saying that a media house cannot take certain steps, do we juxtapose that within the context of the Constitution? All these are matters that I believe that if they are tested in our Supreme Court, is going to help us to bring this matter to a good rest. For me, like I've always said, it is good to legislate against same-sex relationship. It's good to legislate and even criminalize those who will entice underage, young boys who are not of age, adults who try to engage in pedophilia. Those ones, yes, because a child below 18 does not have the necessary means to take a decision. It's not an adult enough. Pay our laws. So you cannot entice such a person. That's for that one, we agree. But if you say that when somebody is in that situation and the person must suffer a jail term, I think that there's a problem. And the Catholic Church, a couple of days back, came out strongly to make a passionate appeal on that matter. I believe that we would have to test the law on it and see. In any event, as a country, tolerance is part of our value system. Tolerance is part of our value system. So either way, we must find a middle ground. Ultra-conservatism can alone not be the way to reform a society, transform a society, and help grow a society. Our judiciary has a new sentencing regime, which sentencing regime talks about non-custodial sentencing as a form of reform, as a form of correction. And we know that the conditions in our prisons do not help in achieving that object of transforming, that object of correcting, that object of reforming people with such behavioral traits. So we have to proceed with some caution and again urge a strong view in testing the law at the Supreme Court so that we know where we are moving to as a state. Then perhaps a journalist can give it a try.
Parliamentary correspondent Kweku Asante joins us now. And Kweku, this was passed last week. There was no debate in the House today. So what was the context of this press conference?
Well, Alexander Afenyo-Markin has been under pressure to speak since this bill was passed. You will recall that he was the lone member of Parliament in the entire 275 House who actually stood up against this bill until it was passed. And so he's been under some pressure to speak. In fact, last week he had organized a news conference to speak to the specifics of this bill. And we understand there was an urgent meeting at the Jubilee House that he had to attend to try and help government strategize in terms of how they would deal with this pressure that has now come on the president. And so today, on the back of that finance ministry advice to the president not to sign, and the pressure response that has come from the minority, some of us approached the majority leader to try and get a sense of what exactly his advice would be the president if he is asked. He would not speak to those specifics. But of course, also the question that have come up in terms of when exactly this bill gets to land on the desk of the president. Today, I've been talking to some judges to try and get some information. They expect, the sponsors I'm saying, they expect that this bill will get to the desk of the president by the end of this week. But Alexander Afenyo-Markin says that calculation is just too ambitious. And that as a leader, he's privy to the fact that there's a lot more work that will be done before the clerk finally authenticates this. And so everyone putting pressure on the president majestic.
On the presidency regarding the LGBT law parliament pass. Well, the process is that when the bill is passed in parliament, it has to be first compiled by the drafting department of parliament. So you know that the bill went through several amendments. It has to be tidied up. And then thereafter, the clerk would have to authenticate it. And after the authentication, the speaker would have to certify. It's when all these are done that the bill is forwarded to the president for his assent. As we speak, as a leader of the House, I can say on good authority that we've not completed the process. So the public needs to know this so that a certain impression is not created out there that Parliament has transmitted the bill to the presidency and all. Nothing has moved to the presidency. In fact, Mr. Speaker is yet to receive the authenticated bill. The clerk to Parliament himself has not yet seen it. The drafting department is still compiling I have been chasing it myself, and they say it requires some time because a lot of changes were done. And as a leader of the House, I don't have the draft bill, the compiled draft bill. So I just wanted to put this thing in proper perspective for our guidance. When all is done, I believe that you'll be informed. But I repeat that the drafting department of Parliament is still in the process of compiling the bill. And if I say they are compiling the bill, I'm basically saying that they are putting together all the amendments, seeing to it that the I's are dotted, the commas are there, the legal language is properly put in. For us to know that indeed, this is the state of the bill.
Kweku, so we know, yes, the bill hasn't been transmitted to the president just yet. Do we have any timelines when this will be done from Parliament?
The expectation of the sponsors is that this should be done as fast as possible. Some of them tell me that when the e-levy bill was passed by the House, it took just 24 hours for the president to get it. And they think this is also a very important bill that must get to the desk of the president so that the 7 days constitutional test will kick in and the 14 days will also kick in. That is to say, the president decides not to sign it. So they expect that by the end of this week, the amendments that were passed by the House will all be incorporated and be sent to the desk of the president. However, if you listen to Alexander Afenyo-Markin, he says the bill is a laborious one. He does not expect it in the next few days. And so we do not have any clear timelines yet. The clerk is yet to speak to the specifics of this. But the sponsors expect that this will be done in a week, while Alexander Afenyo-Markin thinks that is too ambitious.
Kweku, stay with me because there has been a bit more on this in Parliament, especially on the back of the revelations that the Finance Ministry has advised the presidency on how to approach signing this particular bill once it gets to the president's desk. And the Finance Ministry, after a meeting with the BOG, the GRA and other key institutions, did advise the president that it is going to have significant economic implications for us if we go ahead and sign it in this current state. And I want to go through a few of the key points that the Finance Ministry highlighted in this circular. And this isn't the press statement. It's a circular that was put together to catalog what the potential impact could be for the president's own consideration. One is that the expected $300 million financing from the first Ghana Resilient Recovery Development Policy. This is under the World Bank. The Finance Ministry expects that that will be affected. Secondly, they talk about the second Ghana Resilient Recovery Development Policy operation, again, to support the budget, will also be affected. And why is this important? This is a deal that we signed with the World Bank just in January, to be very specific, on 23rd January. And it's supposed to come in three tranches, $300 million each, part of a broad World Bank engagement for crisis response and resilience in Ghana. Its objectives are threefold. One, restore fiscal sustainability, support financial sector stability and private sector development, improve energy sector financial discipline, and strengthen social and climate resilience. So that for the Finance Ministry is important and likely to be affected. Now, they go on to also specify, as you know, the Financial Sector Stability Fund is something the banks are looking forward to on the back of the DDEP.
Yeah.
Now, that too, the Finance Ministry says, having considered the potential impact, that also could be affected. About and in other words, million. 250 million may not come. Kofi with the research desk is with me. That's not all, right? A total of 3.8 billion at stake here.
So the Ministry of Finance is saying that Ghana is likely to lose about $3.8 billion in World Bank financing over the next 5 to 6 years, Evans. So for 2024, Ghana will lose about $600 million in budget support and $250 million for the financing of the Financial Stability Fund. This will negatively impact on Ghana's foreign exchange reserves and exchange rate stability, as these inflows are expected to shock the country's reserve position. And you know that the 250 million inflow is actually tied to the IMF program that we are currently Under Evans.
Specifically on the IMF program, though, the ministry, while acknowledging that there isn't a direct conditionality in the IMF program relating to the passage of the bill, however, they talk about the principles that the IMF program is based on, the principles predicated on financing from the, you know, the World Bank, but also the IMF on inclusion, but also issues about non-discrimination is also there. And they believe that if this is not managed properly, it could come back to hurt us. We've seen the IMF say they're watching Ghana very closely on the back of the passage of this particular bill.
And if you look at the wording, they could not quantify the magnitude that will be losing as a result of the IMF negotiation. But they were able to do that for the World Bank. So when it comes to the IMF, they were really careful or not to quote a certain figure, because they were not, I'm sure they were not so sure how much we are going to lose. But if you look at the World Bank, they are estimating around $4 billion.
But they have recommendations to the president. It says at the presidency, they are asking for some structured engagements with local conservative forces, such as religious bodies. And we'll be hearing from the religious bodies pretty shortly, because that's the finance ministry's advice to the presidency on how to approach this particular matter.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But the intention of that advice, in other words, when you engage, what should you be looking for? What's the outcome? What outcome should you be anticipating? The finance ministry says they want the presidency to engage these faith-based organizations so that they can appreciate the economic implications of the passage of the anti-LGBTQ bill, and to build a stronger coalition and a framework for supporting key development initiatives that are likely to be affected. And so that's the intention for engaging. They also talk about effective engagement with conservative countries, including the Arab countries and China, because this is a place you can go to to get funding to plug the gaps that will emerge if indeed you lose the World Bank support that they've articulated and listed. Then they also ask the president to also defer defer, and I want to quote here, defer assenting to the bill until the court rules on the legal issues tabled by key national stakeholders. And as you've heard there, I think you're making the point already.
Very clear.
Already encouraging somebody to go to the Supreme Court and challenge the bill as it currently is and drafted, awaiting to be transmitted to the president. The ministry itself at this level says they're doing a few things.
So they have also have a charge to keep. They said the ministry will continue to engage with the IMF on the alternative credit sources of funding that will plug the financing gap. So the GRA to embark on a vigorous revenue mobilization drive focusing on implementation of approved measures as well as compliance. And they also talk about the consideration of possible expenditure rationalization to accommodate the shock from the potential withdrawal of resources. And the last one is that they are going to leverage on the Ghana Beyond Aid principles and change the structure of the country's resource mobilization. And they say they must improve our domestic resource mobilization efforts by working towards our medium-term tax revenue to GDP target of 17%, 70 to 80%. Currently, we are doing around 13%. And eventually, wean ourselves off the unsustainable dependency on the development assistance.
Now, we'll go to Parliament for reactions pretty shortly. But let's put this in context. The potential damage that this could cause the economy, as enumerated by the finance ministry, it's predicated on the IMF program. Because even the World Bank disbursements are predicated on
conditioned
on the IMF, the success of the IMF program. But we have been digging around, right? We have found there are many other countries currently under IMF programs with similar legislation criminalizing, you know, homosexuality. What has been the story there in terms of how the IMF has approached these countries?
Well, Evans, let's start with a perfect example, Zambia, because we all did debt restructuring. So Zambia has a law against LGBTQ activities, and it started in 2005, tightened in 2023. And you could go, you know, have life imprisonment if you engage in some of these activities. Zambia is currently under an IMF program of $1.3 billion, which started in 2022, August. And they've been able to, you know, get their second tranche in December. That was when they had their last money. And they've been able to cash in $561 million from the IMF. So even though they have laws against LGBTQ activities, they've been able to sail through their IMF program. Another example is Zambia, Kenya. They started in 2003. And you know that a Supreme Court ruling in February 2023 said the constitution barred discrimination based on sex. And this was heavily criticized by members of parliament and even the president. You could go to prison for 14 years in Kenya if you engage in some of these activities. But they are also currently under an IMF program worth $4.4 billion. They started in April 2021. They've enjoyed so far $2.6 billion in terms of disbursement. It's been smooth. There's no condition with respect to LGBTQ activities. There's also Senegal, Evans. They started in 1966. And according to them, there was actually a bill in parliament to toughen the already strict anti-LGBTQ law in parliament. But in fact, in January 2022, the lawmakers decided not to pass a draft bill that sought to, you know, strengthen the already severe laws against the same-sex marriage. They are also under an IMF program worth $1.5 billion. They've been able to enjoy $279 million from the...
But at least they held back from passing the bill that was strengthening it. I want to go to Parliament now. Quick, today, on the back of this circular becoming public knowledge, we'll be getting some reactions, strong reactions from the minority side.
Yes, Evans. In fact, the minority MPs say they are furious that the finance ministry will want to put a few bucks, a few dollars, ahead of Ghana's cultural values, ahead of Ghana's values that are imbibed in the bill that was passed by the House. In fact, Alhaji Ebiyehusen even goes ahead to suggest that perhaps people must pour out on the streets to show that they are against any such use. Let's listen to them.
Without any iota of doubt, it's an insult to the good people of this country to say that Ghana, as a sovereign country, as a sovereign independent country, must subsume the rights, interests, and aspirations of people to the altar of the interests and beliefs and values of external bodies like the IMF, World Bank, and WHO. So the interest of the World Bank, IMF, and is more than that of Ghanaians. It's not worth protecting, but what is worth protecting is the interests and aspirations of the IMF. The streets must be flooded. Everybody must be prepared on this matter. To come onto the streets, thousands and millions of people must be prepared to flood the streets on this matter to protect our independence and sovereignty.
The flag bearer of the MPP, Dr. Mahamud Bawumia, to speak on this matter. The former president, John Dramani Mahama, and the candidate for the NDC has spoken, and he has made his position clear. Are you saying that when he comes to power, he will need foreign aid? He's aware of the implications, but he has just opposed the harm that this will cause us vis-a-vis the income or the wealth that we are going to get from foreign aid. And that's how we have to look at it. That's the perspective in which we have to look at it. It's so shameful, and I'm a very sad person today.
It is important that we recognize that these funds, in most cases, are loans anyway. The IMF, the World Bank, hardly, you know, give us any grants. These are loans. And so it is not a one-way street. It is a mutually beneficial relationship that we have built over the years together. And we, as a people, have come together to pass this law to reflect our family values and to protect safety.
Reactions there from Parliament on the back of that circular that we now know the Finance Ministry drafted for the President's own consideration. And in there, as part of the recommendations to deal with this, yes, they say the Presidency should not assent to the bill just yet. They should wait out and see how this pans out. If it goes to court, we've heard today the Majority Leader making the point that encouraging people to go to the Supreme Court and challenge this bill as it stands. But another recommendation in there is for the Presidency to engage with conservative forces such as religious bodies, faith-based organizations to communicate the economic implications of the passage of this particular bill. And I want to bring in right now the very Reverend Father Clement Kwesi Ejeh. He's the Secretary General of the National Catholic Secretariat and Ghana and the Catholic Bishops Conference, joins us right now. Very Reverend, thanks for your time. You're on Top Story.
Yes.
Great to have you. The Finance Ministry is very clear that we stand to lose some $3.8 billion if we go ahead, the President assents to this and it becomes law. They want the Presidency to engage yourselves on this matter so you can understand the economic implications. Knowing, now quantifying the implications, are you still in favor of this being assented to the way it currently is with a custodial sentence for people who are found guilty?
Thank you very much. This financial assistance, is it a grant or a loan? In fact, when I follow the discussions going on, what I get is that because Ghanaians are poor, Ghana is poor, and they are going out for financial assistance, you want to just strangle us, something we don't want as Ghanaians. You want us to use your money to just prevent us from doing what we want, what our people want. LGBTQ, we don't want it. Ghanaians don't want it. Majority says we don't want it. About 98.5%. We don't want it. And because we don't have the money, we are going for assistance, we say we could get it. Is it fair? Is it what the UN is actually standing for? I don't think so. I don't think so. Yes, we are ready to engage government to express certain things to us. We also put forward our ideas and our understanding. But I still hold that poverty should not be used to let somebody succumb to the will of the other. That's what I have to say.
But the church
is always ready
to engage. But the reality, though, is the economy is currently in crisis. We are currently under an IMF program. The IMF says you're watching us very closely. The Finance Ministry, together with the Bank of Ghana, is advising that the potential loss to this economy will be devastating. I mean, we can't survive without the $3.8 billion that they quantify, can we? And that will have real impact on the lives of the people that you lead in the church, for example.
I mean, is Ghana the only country undergoing the IMF program? Other countries also have this LGBTQ laws and so on. And have IMF and the World Bank refused to accept. I think probably they are taking it too far. And I don't think so. I don't think because we have agreed to ban LGBTQ practices and so on, no nation, I mean the UN, IMF and the World Bank will not help us. I don't think so. Maybe they are using to terrify us, to put fear in us. I don't think so.
So you still stand by your original position that now that the bill has been passed, the President must assent to it, regardless of...
Sure.
What about the second argument, which is that, yes, but what about the custodial part of the bill, that you should throw people in jail just because they have a sexual preference that you believe is against our values?
Those are the issues that we must look at. And not the financial matter bringing in nuclear things. Yes. But that's what they've been doing. And then I know that the bill is the form at which it went into parliament is not the same. Yes. People, opinions, and so on. We can still discuss it. those kind of things. Whether somebody should be jailed, or because what are you looking for? Deterrent or informative? You see, those are the things we can debate. But it doesn't mean that, in fact, the LGBTQ plus, activities we should support. No. But the sentence can be looked at again. That I don't think the church is against it. Because it's about the human person. It's about our brother. It's about our sister. Who we think is not following the rules, the order of Ghanaian for the Ghanaians. So you can look at that. But that doesn't mean that we are for it. No. We are against it. But how do we treat the person?
So just to be clear, the church is in favor of scrapping the custodial sentence section in the law?
It is possible. Because what you want is a human person to change from his ways. You see? From his ways. But if it becomes that, if it comes to the point that that's the only way, fine. But if they can also remove the custodial sentence, fine. If only to help. Because we are not just after punishing the person. We want the person to be punished and to be reformed. So you have to look at all these kind of things. All these things. But getting our brother back is more important for the church.
Finally, the finance ministry's advice to the president is that he should not assent to the bill just yet. What do you say to that?
If the president accepts, or the finance minister, if the president accepts the advice of the finance ministry, that's what you're saying. Hello?
Yes. Yes, if the president decides to accept it, that's advice to the president.
And fails to assent. And fails to assent. Yeah. For that, the church cannot do anything. But we will speak and continue speaking against what we think is wrong. In fact, I know I'm not the bishop. But I know the bishop's conference will speak against it if the president refuses to sign. And you know the implications for him and his party. You know.
What implications? What implications are you referring to?
Elections, voting. This thing should not be hidden. People are being work in the villages. People are listening. He can bring back the bill to parliament with good reasons for them to look at it again. But I don't think you can just say I will not sign.
You say elections. You say elections voting. To be clear, as leaders of the church, you ask the members not to vote for his party, the MPP.
The church doesn't do direct. It doesn't get into elections in terms of telling them what to do or not to do. We advise, but the people themselves, because you are in villages, you are in cities, you are in towns. The church is almost everywhere. You know their minds, and they themselves know. If the president fails to sign, you may know the consequence.
They will not get the votes of vast majority of your members.
I'm sure.
But you're not. Will you actively, in your church and using your pulpit, speak against it?
Speak against
his decision if he decides to take the advice not to assent, which obviously will influence people's decisions in the polling booth.
Position. You know, from the beginning of this bill, the church has been part of the process. We gave our opinions, everything to Parliament, the committee that worked on it, and we still continue to speak on it. So when he fails to assent, we shall speak, because the church will speak, the church will give its opinion of what he has done.
Most Reverend, thank you very much. That's the very Reverend Father Clement Kwesi Ajayi, the Secretary General of the National Catholic Secretariat, the Ghana Catholic Bishops Conference there. And there's more on this developing story. As you may know, it's a major story developing all the time today. The Majority Leader has been addressing a news conference asking that this bill be challenged at the Supreme Court. It's coming on the day when we also got wind of this circular put together by the Finance Ministry, working with the Central Bank and the GRA to advise the president on the potential economic implications. There is more to this. We'll be hearing from the sponsors of the bill. Roxy Nelson Dafiamekpo will join us on the back of the assertions by the majority leader that the constitutional questions that he's raised today, encouraging anybody to go out there and challenge it. We'll also hear from Professor Bokwing, an economist, on the subject raised by the finance ministry
on the potential economic consequences for Ghana. You've heard us analyze already. If you put in the context of what else is happening on the continent for African countries who are already taking this step and under an IMF program, you can make up your own mind as you may. Newsnight starts right now as we begin to unpack a bit more what has been unfolding.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.